ready to rock and roll?
Yeah. Remember when Harry Styles just munching box in Don't Worry, Darling?
It's hot.
Anyway. Are we recording?
Yeah. I'm that's staying in.
All right. They're finny and funny and oh so delish. They're joyful and jolly. Joker fish. Hey, what's up, everybody? How's it going? Welcome back to another installment of Radio Vision. This is our 13th episode. I am John Swansong Parker, and sitting across the table from me, ready to talk about the man, the myth, the legend, Tony Zucco, is my good friend, Zach Rotella. How's
for
it going?
For my fish, of course.
For my fish, of course.
How many times are we going to be able to quote that episode in this hour-long podcast?
A lot, yeah. So this is Radio Vision's 13th installment in our review and watch-through of Batman the Animated Series. A series that I have seen many, many times over, and Zach's first full, complete watch through. And we're just dissecting each episode as we go. We do about 3 episodes per installment of the pod. If you like the pod, check us out on radiovania.com. You can go to YouTube and search for Radiovania to see some links for videos that we've created there. And you can also follow us at Radiovania Show on Instagram and Radiovania on Twitter. And then if you have anything that you want to send regarding this installment, hit us up at radiovisionshow@gmail.com. Send us emails and ask us which type of fish we'd like to see jokerized.
If you were going to eat one of the Joker fish, what kind of fish would you want it to be?
Probably a halibut. I think that would be the least intrusive because it's already really white, you know? And I don't typically eat fish heads, so it's not really going to bother me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What about you?
Yeah, it might be a little bit freaky if I was going to go take a bite out of a salmon and I saw...
It's white.
It's a white. Yeah. Wait, here's the thing. Would shrimp have the Joker fish?
That's what I was wondering. I think it's all sea creatures. So, yeah. But you also don't see the head of a shrimp. You would a crawfish boil, though. Can you imagine going to a crawfish boil and it's Joker crawfish? It'd be crazy. See if Ralph the Baker can throw a stick of butter on that.
All right, y'all. Today we're going to fix these Joker fish.
You're going to twist the head. Rip it right off. So in case you haven't noticed, we are going to be talking about Joker fish today. But we're also going to be talking, or the laughing fish, I should say. But we're going to be talking about 2 other episodes. So if you haven't caught up yet, as mentioned in the last pod, today we're discussing Robin's Reckoning Part 1 and Part 2. And then the laughing fish to round out this episode. So, Zach, how you feeling?
Great.
We're volume 2, I should say, of Batman the Animated Series is underway. Last week we got to talk about some okay episodes, but we did get to talk about Perchance to Dream, which was fantastic.
Fantastic episode.
And then how do you feel about this collection of 3? We watched it this morning, we should say.
Yeah. So it's been a whirlwind weekend. Catch the Spider-Verse podcast that we're about to post here probably before this. So you'll probably hear the Spider-Verse podcast before you hear this episode of the show. I think the booze has finally flowed out of me.
Yeah.
I think it's all gone.
Mm-hmm.
The booze cruise has left my body, and now there's a human back where...
Yeah, my sides still hurt a little bit from all that kidney filtration, but... Oh, well.
God's creation working overtime. You know what I mean?
overtime.
No, I loved all 3 of these episodes. It was great to watch them with you. A little bit to hear joined us for the first part of Robin's Reckoning Part 1, which was great to hear him give his comments.
He just talks through the whole thing. He was like, who's your favorite Robin? Why? Why is this guy wearing suits?
Yeah, so.
He's funny to watch TV with, though.
It was great, though. These are 3 great episodes. I can't wait to talk about them with you.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I'm very much looking forward to this collection of 3 as well, so let's not belabor the point any longer and get started.
For sure.
So our first episode of this pod is Robin's Reckoning Part 1, written by Randy Rogel and directed by Dick Sebast. Title card watch here is, it's pretty cool, I think. It's the classic Batman the Animated Series font that you see, but it's just a spotlight up on an empty tightrope platform. So, all right, but not one of the more standout ones that we've seen.
Yeah, not top tier, but God, I'm a sucker for the animated series font.
It's
like the
so
Art
good.
Deco yeah. font. Yeah. I don't know, it's beautiful.
I love it a lot. Those gigantic O's. Yeah. I will dive on into our little 2-minute plot synopses.
Okay.
All right. Batman and Robin are on a stakeout at a construction site. They're waiting for an extortion ring, whom they dispatch with ease. They let the rest go while holding on to one weasel. And they finally get him to squeal that his boss is Billy Marin. When Robin presses further, Batman calls him off. He then interrogates the man by himself. Back at the cave, Batman tells Robin he needs to work alone that night. A disgruntled Robin fumes to Alfred that Batman is stone cold and self-righteous. Using the Bat computer, Robin looks up that Marin is actually an alias for Tony Zuko. Finally, he declares. Flashback to the Haley Circus, and the Flying Graysons are practicing their high-wire act under the Big Top. Young Dick Grayson witnesses Haley warn an insurance salesman, quote-unquote, to leave the property. That man is Tony Zuko, who warns Haley that he made a big mistake. Before the show, we see Zuko cutting the high-wire ropes with a knife to weaken them. Bruce Wayne is in attendance as guest of honor for the circus, and Zuko storms out past Dick, who recognizes him before the show. During the act, Dick's parents fall to their deaths in front of a horrified crowd. Bruce asks Jim Gordon what will happen to Dick. Since Dick is a material witness, Wayne offers to shelter him back at Wayne Manor. Back to the present day, Robin laments that Batman is going to take the justice of Zuko away from him. Flashing back to young Dick, noticing that Bruce has a meeting almost every night when they're having dinner. Bats goes undercover to learn more about where Zuko is hiding, and Batman invades the compound of Stromwell, Zuko's uncle. He then threatens him and plants a listening device. Zuko tries to run Batman over and escapes, and Alfred encourages Batman to spend more time with Dick, who is just in need of a friend. Bruce and Dick trauma bond over the shared failure of not protecting their parents, and Robin calls out Batman for not allowing him to get vengeance on Zuko. And he storms off after Zuko on the motorcycle, perhaps for the last time as Robin. So that's your synopsis for part one. Lots of plot steps with the flashing back and forth and stuff like that.
Yeah. But
is this the first time you've seen this?
First time I've seen this.
Okay, what'd you think?
Yeah, so it's good. The Robin origin story is really cool. I mean, I've kind of known bits and pieces. I've seen my continuity in terms of like who Robin is as a character has been kind of thrown all which way in every single direction.
Yeah, there's a lot of different iterations of the character, some of which are taken more seriously than others.
Arkham Games is a more recent example of something that reminded me of all this.
That's more Jason Todd, which is interesting.
Well, Jason Todd, but they talk about it a little bit in Gotham Knights.
Yes.
But yeah, the episode as a whole is really good. I like the cliffhanger ending. I mean, it's just interesting because there's not been an episode yet where it's been like a double parter where it's like, it goes right into the, like, it's just like an extended episode, basically.
Mm-hmm.
They save those for the movies.
Typically. I mean, we've had Two-Face Part 1 and Part 2 and Feet of Clay Part 1 and Part 2, but this feels more like an episode that was probably a full 40-minute episode that got cut in half.
That's kind of what
reruns, but I would have to look that up.
That's kind of what I
feel. It felt very much like a right in the middle.
Yeah.
So it's going to be hard to rank these, I think, separately.
Yes.
Because I think it kind of serves itself as one part of a, like, one piece. I do typically lean towards liking part two more, though, if I had to separate them. But we'll talk about that when we get there.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to compare this to Two-Face Part 1, which I think is just an immaculate piece of TV.
And that one is better on its own as well. You don't feel the need to necessarily have to watch part two immediately.
Yeah.
With this one, you do. It's such a big cliffhanger, you know?
Yeah. But it's cool. The flashbacks are cool. I don't know. I'm more interested in what you think in terms of, like, reading the comics, like, where you stand in terms of this being, like, is this your definitive Robin origin story?
Yeah, for sure. Tom Wilson, Biff from Back to the Future, plays the voice of Tony Zuko. Boss Zuko has always been tied to the murder of the Graysons in the comics. This is my favorite version of it. The worst version of it is in Batman Forever, when you have a 35-year-old Chris O'Donnell still performing with his parents.
Lord have mercy.
And Tommy Lee Jones just comes in and shoots them, I think, in that movie instead. I much prefer the sabotage aspect of it. I think it's really tragic. And I think that this is handled really well without it being super visual. The way that they show the death, where it's just, they swing out on the tightrope and then an empty tightrope comes back and it's split, I think is just, it has been burned into my mind since I saw it for the first time. So it's sad too.
It's
like,
sad.
The kid who plays young Dick is very,
yeah,
very good as well.
It's, I mean, and this is pun intended, it's pretty campy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that might just come from the fact that, like, I've really not paid much attention to... Robin was never a favorite comic book character of mine, like, growing up. Like, he's like, oh, it's Batman's sidekick. He's just kind of there. Like, yeah. I never really felt compelled by Robin.
Yeah.
And just the fact that it's like, oh, what if his parents died in a circus accident? It's like...
Yeah.
It's a little campy to me. But I like this episode's portrayal of it. I can see it being done, you know, little bit darker, maybe, and like other source material or something, like in a like a more like, I don't know, like an adult oriented I'm thinking like a Killing Joke style origin.
Yeah.
For Robin, but it's still good. It's just it's a little bit of a campy.
Is it just because it's at a circus?
Yeah, it's like it's at a circus. It's a live performance of a thing.
People they have jobs for different things, man. Some people are just they work at the circus. So it's wherever they were at. Like if his parents were running a taco truck, you know, Tony Zucco would have rigged the gas to explode or something like that. Sure. It doesn't matter what iteration it is. The only reason why it's set at the circus is because in the 30s when they were creating Robin, they needed to show why a kid would be able to fight crime with the acrobatics of Batman, who's been trained by assassins and ninjas all over the world. So being able to take a kid that can already take care of himself from a physical level is kind of the whole point of that.
Yeah.
It's wild to me how long they've held on to that, though, instead of retconning it.
That's kind of what I mean. Because
circuses are not a thing anymore. We were talking about that while we watched the pod. I was like, have you ever been to a circus? I have not. So you got to see the Barnum.
I went once. Yeah, Barnum and Bailey did the greatest show on earth or whatever, and they played at the U.S. Bank Arena in Cincinnati, like way back. I think I might have been like 12.
Yeah.
But I remember seeing that. It's like, eh. It's a circus. I think that might be my you put it in very good terms. It's surprising to me that this is still the Robin origin story.
Well, I'm like, for this like, Robin, no
way.
Too.
Yeah, it's like, there's no way. That I would love to see, if they do Robin and Brave and the Bold, I would love to see what they do with that, but well, it's probably going to be the circus.
No, it's Damian.
Oh, it's Damian Wayne?
Dick is not Robin in Brave and the Bold, which is automatically an easier origin story to tell, which is probably why they're going with that route. Damian is just is Batman and Talia's son, who was hidden from him for the first 10 years of his life. So he'll just be in a little... That movie will be Batman trying to essentially like break this assassin mentality out of his son so that he can fight crime without killing people,
and
which is hilarious.
And that origin story just feels more Batman. It's just like circus... Kids' parents die at the circus just doesn't feel as Batman when you're comparing it
not
to Batman.
Not for us.
Not for us, but for Batman's origin story of like Crime Alley, getting his parents are gunned down by Joe Chill.
Mm-hmm.
It just this feels by comparison a little bit like it's Bruce is talking to Robin. He's like, "I'm sorry, your parents died at the circus," and he's like, "Oh, I wasn't laughing. I promise. I'm just choked up.
Yeah.
I just can't believe they died in the circus."
Yeah, I think the them being a casualty of the ringleader Haley's mistake of throwing Tony Zucco out is what's more interesting to me, is that like the Graysons didn't do anything to Haley or to Zucco whatsoever. They're just caught in this argument between two people.
Yeah.
And that's what's really tragic for me.
I appreciate that aspect in terms of the tragedy and what I really like is the fact that like it's different than Batman. Batman was so young that he couldn't protect his parents from a gunman. Robin is just accidentally like,
it's like Spider-Man.
His parents die and he was supposed to be with them, like, and I think that that's a compelling thing for a character to struggle with. It's like, I was supposed to be dead, I'm alive,
yes,
and I couldn't do anything about it.
Yep. Similar to Batman, there's a world in which Joe Chill just shoots him as well, but he doesn't, you know, and that sets this course of history that I think Joe Chill and many criminals in Gotham City would come to regret, which is the creation of the Batman. So
yeah.
What did you think of the relationship between Bruce and Dick Grayson? Do you buy it? I guess what I'm trying to get at is it's always a tough sell because they've made many iterations of Batman, which is that he works alone. But then there's also many iterations that it's like he's also hanging out with teenagers that fight crime in brightly colored suits. So like, which do you vibe with? Do you prefer a Batman that's on his own, or do you understand why, you know, he would see that in Dick and want to help him out?
I mean, the easy answer is yes, I prefer Batman alone. We're about to talk about an episode of the show where it's basically a noir thriller starring Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is just more compelling to me. But I've never really been a whole, like, I've never felt super, that's why I'm hoping Brave and the Bold does that for me. I would love to read a comic where I feel that invested in, like, the Batman and Robin relationship. What's the one that takes place after Dark Knight Rises? Dark Knight Returns. Dark Knight Returns. It's like the cover is, it's like apocalyptic. What am I thinking of? Robin is in it.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
He's sitting on a thing. Fuck. That's going to drive me crazy. It's the same people, guy that wrote Dark Knight Returns.
Frank Miller wrote
Frank Dark Miller. Knight. What's the one that he did after that?
The Dark Knight Strikes Again.
I don't know.
Are you thinking of Dark Victory?
Dark Victory might
be what
I'm thinking.
That's the Long Halloween sequel.
Okay, Dark Victory.
That has Robin in it.
Then that might be the only thing that I've read where I find a little bit more compelling about their relationship.
Uh-huh.
But there's something frustrating to me about, and we'll talk about this when we get to part two, which is coming up here in a minute. This is an unfortunate episode where, to me, it's like, it could have all been avoided. Because I hate it when characters don't tell another character something because they're trying to protect them, mm-hmm. right? When in the reality, it's like, Danny Zuko, or it's like
Danny Zuko's from Greece. This is Tony Zuko.
Danny's Tony. Well, it's like he's
Grease
like
lightning.
He's like, who's your boss or whatever? It's like Cheech Marin, and then he's like, oh, he was gonna sing Batman if Batman just put his hand on Robin and said, listen, Robin,
this is Tony Zuko.
I know this is gonna sound crazy, but listen, I'm a little scared that you're gonna let your emotions run wild. Mm-hmm. Let's work on this together and take him down and bring him to justice. I think that it would have been way without that, you don't have an episode.
But also, at the same time, I think it makes a lot of sense that Batman doesn't know how to do that because this is a guy that's not in touch with his feelings.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
And he even says that later, his reasoning is that he's like, I didn't want you to go after him and then him take him, which is, I guess, compelling, but it's like, it still doesn't explain why you wouldn't just say, let's do this together, instead of just being like, no, stay in the Batcave. Well, order takeout.
Get a pizza.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the things, though, that especially with the fact that there's been multiple Robins, is that Batman has had to learn to do over time. This is his first bite at the apple, essentially, of having somebody that he has to look after besides himself. And I think it makes sense to me, at least, that he wouldn't know how to do that. And his fear of Robin dying... In his mind, he's justifying it as like, I'm Batman, I'm the best that there is at what I do. If I can just get Zuko and take him off the board, I can tell Dick about it later without him potentially getting hurt.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I get it. It's just, you know, you can't help but think like, oh, this is one of those writing narrative decisions that probably would... You can't pull this off in every medium. Like, it's a half-hour cartoon.
Yeah.
It works here, but, you know, it's not as tight as I would like it to be.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's go ahead and throw this in our rankings here for the current episodes that we have, and then we'll dive into part two and keep the conversation going.
Yeah, tough. Like you said, tough.
Yeah. So our current midway point is on Leather Wings, and you know, we're gonna go based off of that if we think it's better or worse than on Leather Wings, and then that way we don't have to read through 31 episode titles. So.
Yep.
What's your initial thought?
I'm saying it goes in the top half. I think this is better than on Leather Wings.
I agree.
But I think it's going to go to the lower tier of that top, the top tier.
Yeah. I would agree. I think it is better than On Leather Wings. Just above, immediately above that, we have Appointment in Crime Alley, POV, Feet of Clay, Part 2. I think it's better than all of those. I also like it more than The Cat in the Claw, but I don't know if I like it more than The Last Laugh, which is Captain Clown.
That's Captain Clown?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I might... Oh. Yeah.
Do you like it more than Two-Face Part 2?
No.
I don't either, and I don't like it more than The Clock King, so I don't think it cracks the top 11, but...
So, Captain Clown, they're on the boat.
It's the barge that's pumping Joker toxin into the city.
I think I like this more than The Last Laugh, but if you want to put it under Last Laugh and put it at the number 13, I think that that's fine.
I don't have any qualms with that, as long as we both agree that it's not.
I don't think it's anywhere better than. I think that the gap between 11 and 12 is pretty substantial. I think the top.
Should we put another gap?
I don't think we need to do that quite yet. Maybe when we get to 20, okay. 20 in each tier, then we'll start gapping it up.
Sure, that'll happen by the end of this episode.
So there we go.
Yeah. All right. So Robin's Reckoning Part 1 clocks in at the new number 12.
New number 12. Us. There we go.
All right. Well, let's dive into Part 2. Same writing and directing team. Same title card. So I will just get into the plot. Robin speeds.
Starts with a recap. Sorry to jump in there, but that's not happened yet, right? They did a recap in Two-Face Part 2?
Mm-hmm.
I guess I don't remember that.
And
but...
Feet of Clay Part 2.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. All right.
I think on HBO Max, you could have skipped the recap. but on max, you can't.
Also, yeah, negative shout out. What's the opposite of a shout out? Call out?
Disparaging remark.
disparaging remark towards Max. What are you doing with the video encoding here? There's like little pink strip on the right-hand side.
If it didn't bother me to log into my own Vudu and take the extra 2 minutes to do that, I much prefer watching them on Vudu because they look so much better.
They look better. They are in order in terms of what we're doing chronologically. Yeah, Max, get your shit together.
Max. I'm paying $15 for some bullshit. All right, 2 minute synopsis here. Robin speeds through the night tracking Batman, who shuts off the tracker. He claims that he's found Zuko once. He can do it again. Flashback to young Bruce and Dick, who are sparring in fencing, when Gordon drops by to tell Bruce that Zuko is trying to skip town because he's spooked by the Batman. If he gets out of Gotham, they could lose him forever. Dick heads out to find Zuko himself in a rough part of town. He searches all over the neighborhood with no luck. Right before he is mugged, the Batwing scares people off. A man named Lenny is robbing a woman named Chi-Chi, who is a prostitute, but they don't say that. he's a pimp. Dick interferes and displays his acrobatic crime-fighting powers. Chi-Chi takes Dick out to a diner where the waitress recognizes the photo of Zuko. She says that he blabs about being at the building across the basin. Young Dick goes to this condemned building and finds Zuko packing his things. Zuko catches him snooping, but is attacked by Batman right before he can hurt Dick. Zuko shoves Dick into the river, and Batman goes to save him at the cost of losing Zuko this time. Young Dick laments that Batman let him go, and then Batman tells him they are going home. Batman shows Dick the Batcave and asks him how badly he wants to catch Zuko. He then reveals his identity to young Dick Grayson. Cut back to the present day, and Robin is searching a bookie's place for Zuko's address. Using an ancient tech called a redial, Robin locates Zuko's place. Zuko explains to his gang that Batman has been hunting him for a long time. He's a dark angel of death, man! He then shoots the ceiling after he hears little creaks. An injured Batman falls to the ceiling, and Zuko has him cornered. Batman escapes and is hiding in another nearby carnival that's conveniently placed. He picks off the guards one at a time as Robin speeds his way to that side of town on the Batcycle. Zuko has Batman pinned down on a merry-go-round, but Robin arrives and drags Zuko down the length of the pier. Robin is about to kill Zuko when Batman pleads for him not to. Robin declares that Batman doesn't know how he feels, then realizing that they are one and the same, he apologizes for that statement. Robin then hands Zuko over to the authorities and tells Batman that he was right not to involve him because he would take it too personally. Batman says that it wasn't that, but instead a fear of losing Robin to Zuko as well. They walk off together as the sun rises. Mm. Part two. What did you think about the second half now that we can dive into it as a whole?
I really like the second half. I thought that it's really cool. I like the resolution with Batman and Robin on the pier. I think that visually this episode is like way more striking than the first part. Like all of the uses of like muzzle flashes too. Like there's a great
Tommy guns and stuff.
Yeah. All the Tommy gun fights. There's that great shot of Zuko shooting the ceiling, and it's just him emptying a whole clip into the ceiling, and it's just like you can see the muzzle flash on his face.
Yeah, yeah.
Really cool.
He looks really strung out too. Like they animate him differently than the younger Zuko in the flashbacks, which I think is really cool. Where it's like this guy's been paranoid of the Batman hunting him for what does he say 9 years, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So.
And this is the more mature aspect of the Robin origin story that I like, that I think that if translated to like a movie or something like that, or a different medium, I think you could do something really, really cool with the idea that like there's this guy that has been looking over his shoulder for Batman for the better part of 15, 20 years, and like he knows that somehow he has something to do with the creation of his ward. I think it's kind of nifty.
I think it's funny that he's so afraid of Batman. Because Batman's been looking for him, and it's like you said, he didn't know that he created Robin inadvertently, and that's his comeuppance at the end of the episode is great.
Yeah,
like the we didn't do a favorite animation cell in the last episode, but I think we can just kind of pick one for both of these parts. My favorite is the cycle blasting through the ad for Come See the Flying Graysons, and he busts through it with the motorcycle and then just grabs Zuko and just rides down the pier.
It's so cool.
It's badass. Yeah.
Yeah, that is probably the best shot of the episode. I'm going to shout out to the Akira slide, the motorcycle slide.
Yeah.
Got to get that in every animated property ever made. It's so tight. Yeah, when he slides the motorcycle at the end of the pier and like the sparks shoot out, it's awesome.
Yeah.
This might be our first
Batcycle, right?
Yes, in this series, yeah. I think so.
Wait till you see when Batman rides it and he has the Batman-shaped motorcycle helmet. It's amazing for his ears to fit into it.
Cartoons.
Yeah.
Animation itself in the first one, I don't know. Probably Grayson's rope. Death. Yeah, that's probably just it's a beautifully animated scene, so.
Yeah.
Part two's great. It's really good. I like the conclusion.
I also love when young Dick is searching for Zuko in the rough neighborhood, and then everyone hears the Batwing, and you see them all, like, run away, yes. And all the lights shut off in the apartments, and he's just, like, flying over with the spotlight. I'm like, that's pretty cool, like, to show ground level how terrifying he is for all these people.
Well, in the sound design there, it's so beautiful. Like, you hear that... that like background humming noise, and it overtakes the entire speakers, like, yeah. And then Robin's just kind of like, oh fuck. He steps back into the awning. I really like that scene. I thought that was cool. We're very much reminded, you could tell the Batman got some inspiration from stuff like that,
yeah,
in terms of Batman just being like, would you like to see a Batwing in the Matt Reeves movies?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm always down for a Batwing. I want to see the Batboat done justice, though. It's been too long. It's been 20 years. No, 30 years since Batman Returns. And that was the last Batboat that we got. So, and at least one that I liked. I know there's one in Batman Forever, but I don't care.
I don't even remember. I kind of remember this. Yeah, remember Batman Forever, Val Kilmer Batboat.
Gross. I'm talking about the Keaton one when he's in the penguin tunnels.
Batboat Keaton.
That's when he drives the Batboat by the penguin and then he looks back at that penguin. It's just
This thing's slick.
Yeah. So I would love to see
I forgot about that.
In a Gotham that's flooded, I would love to see R-Pats driving around like a, if not a Batboat, then like a sick ass jet ski or something like that would be pretty tight. So he's got a cool bat cycle at the end of that movie though. Maybe he'll just spend more time on that.
Maybe.
But I also, as we've discussed many times, the Batmobile in the Batman is just fucking sick. And just, I want to see more stuff like that. So,
Mad Max.
Yeah. Yeah. So did you, I forget what I was going to say. What did you think of the revealing of the identity scene? Because that's pretty much from the comics.
I think it's interesting. Mm-hmm. So the one thing that I don't love is just like, picks his kid up. Can't beat Zuko. He ain't got the time to tie Zuko to the fucking
throw
pier.
A molo on him.
You got a utility belt, but instead he jumps into the water to go chase Robin. It's pretty infuriating. And then Dick at the time is like, "You let him go." And he's like, "Well,
time to go home.
time to take you to the cave, boy." And then the Batwing comes down. He's like, "Where are we going?"
Do you think? Because I've always interpreted it as that he tells him about Batman because he's worried that Dick is just going to keep sneaking out like this every night to go find Zuko. And so that's why he asks, how badly do you want Zuko? Because if you're going to do this, at least let me prepare you, essentially. That's kind of how I've always interpreted it.
Sure. No, I think that's probably what they wanted to get across, is the idea that he's like, you're a lot like me. You're going to go out and do these things. If I was as prepared as you were when I was your age, you would probably be way farther along by the time you get to how old I am at this point.
Yeah.
So I think that the idea is that Bruce wants to train Dick and like
Yeah.
I think it's a cool scene. I think that it's like, oh, wow, you live here? And it's like, you bet. You mm-hmm. know where we're below right now?
Mm-hmm.
Wayne Manor, baby.
Yeah. Well, I don't really have anything else to say. I really enjoy it. Definitely one of my favorites. I think, like we mentioned, though, they kind of serve better as two parts to one whole situation.
I agree.
We gotta slot this in somewhere. So, I think we can both agree that if we liked it more than part one, that's definitely above that. So, let me read you our top 10 real quick, or top 11, and we'll go from there. Heart of Ice, Two-Face Part 1, Perchance to Dream, Dreams in Darkness, Joker's Favor, Christmas with the Joker, Nothing to Fear, Beware the Grey Ghost, Pretty Poison, The Clock King, and Two-Face Part 2. So.
I might put this right above Part 1. I don't know if I like this more than Two-Face Part 2 or The Clock King.
Interesting. I like it a lot more than both of those.
Oh, wow.
I like it more than Two-Face Part 2, The Clock King, and Pretty Poison, but not more than Beware the Grey Ghost. Beware the Grey Ghost is such a unique
no way.
Concept with Adam West playing Simon Trent and stuff like that. And I don't think it, I don't, I think it's good, but it's not like one of the S tier Batman episodes. I think we'll have a lot more that we slot in above all four of those, honestly. So, but we could compromise if you want, put it somewhere. I think, well, let's start with Two-Face Part 2. Why don't you like it more than Two-Face Part 2?
I think I find that Two-Face as a villain is more compelling.
Yeah.
I just like the Harvey.
Than Robin as a character or than, like, Zuko?
Definitely more than Zuko. But, I mean, like, I've never really connected with Robin as a character. I like that this second half kind of, like, gives a really cool action-packed ending with, like, all the stuff with the carnival and the pier is great.
Yeah.
But I still stand by, like, some of my favorite stuff in Batman the Animated Series thus far has been, like, the crime narratives.
Yes.
And while I think that this has, like, a little bit of that, it has, like, the guys playing poker around the table.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, shoots a Tommy gun. It's, I don't know. I find Two-Face and that whole, that two-parter to just be way more compelling together.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is a problem here because I think I like this better than I might like this more than Pretty Poison.
Yeah.
But I don't like it more than Clock King or Two-Face. So I think we might have compromised to put Pretty Poison that high.
Well, Pretty Poison was the fourth or fifth episode that we ever watched. So we just fumbled by not putting Clock King above that, if you felt strongly about that. Pretty Poison was like our second episode of Radiovision. So I mean, yeah. We can flip those if you want. I like Clock King more than Pretty Poison. I think the Clock King is a great episode of television. So.
It's amazing. If
what if we moved Clock King to 9 and then put Robin's Reckoning Part 2 at 10?
I was gonna say like I don't know if I would put this above the Clock King, but I would put it above Pretty Poison. If you feel the same, maybe yeah. It's
let's
maybe we break little, the sanctity
let's just
of
do
the
a
list.
A little bit of editing here.
We're frauds. We're frauds.
Robin's Reckoning Part 2. And Pretty Poison. Does that look good?
That looks good to me.
All right, cool. So this is now our new number 10. Sorry, Pretty Poison, but, you know, it happens. All right. And then I'm so excited to talk about this, so I don't want to waste any more time. our third episode of this pod is The Laughing Fish, written by Paul Dini and directed by Bruce Timm. This is their second episode that we've seen them co-create after Heart of Ice. No title card for this. Instead, it's like an opening, like Zach mentioned earlier, of like a noir film where it's a single image where all the credits play above it and then it pans, which I think is so smart and really cool. I do have a picture of that image there, which is just a fish market sign of like this goofy looking fish.
Fresh fish.
Fresh fish. I will do the plot synopsis and then we'll save our thoughts for after that, if that's cool with you.
Yep.
At Gotham Harbor, fishermen are disgusted when checking out their nightly catch. Every fish has the Joker's eerie smile on it. Batman claims he's made his move. Batman takes a fish sample back to the cave to dissect it, and Alfred questions the Joker's motives. Joker and Harley Quinn arrive at a trademark office the next morning to trademark the fish for having his likeness. Francis, the clerk, denies Joker's request since fish are natural resources. Joker gives him till midnight to change his mind. Batman determines the fish are not poisoned and catches a hilarious commercial for Joker fish products on TV. GCPD is staking out Francis's place, and Batman arrives to help protect him from the Joker's attack. Just then, a swordfish missile is launched into the room from a fish truck, and the missile releases a gas that is the second part of a binary compound to the perfume that Harley sprayed Francis with earlier. Joker threatens the next highest ranking official in the trademark office, and Batman and the GCPD go to protect that person as well. Jackson's cat is infected with Joker venom and sees through the ruse Batman set up and bites him. So now two people are infected with Joker venom. Batman and Gordon determine that the fish that the cat had is from an aquarium, and Bullock and Batman both arrive at the aquarium and are ambushed by Harley and Joker. Batman is lowered into a shark tank, handcuffed, and fights off the sharks. Joker gets away, but Batman is in pursuit on the roof. Joker jumps off the roof into shark-infested waters and is not seen again, and Batman tells Gordon he doubts the Joker is really gone. So that is a very surface-level synopsis of an episode that has so many fun little moments. Now, I know you've seen this before. because I've made you watch it many times.
This is the episode of the show that I've seen the most times.
Yes, but now that we're talking about it officially, what are your thoughts on The Laughing Fish, Zach?
So before we sat down to watch this episode, and I had not seen it in a while. I think maybe the last time I saw this was like a year ago or something like that. I feel like we were Lazy Sunday in Cincinnati and you put this on.
Yeah. Sounds like me.
Sounds like you. Big John energy right there. And we sat down to watch this, cup of coffee, and before you hit play, I think you said something along the lines of, you ready to watch something that's better than Citizen Kane?
Yeah.
And I kind of agree.
Yeah.
I think this is number one with a bullet. I think that this is probably one of the best episodes of animated television ever made. And it's just so, it's goofy, but not campy in like a traditional campy way. Like it's like a, it's Joker campy. Like the fact that the whole plot hinges around a compound DNA bioweapon that requires perfume spray plus a laughing fish is just wild enough that I believe it. And I think that the humor in this episode is what sets it apart.
Very good.
The whole first half, I think, is just hysterical. Everything with Joker and Harley is great.
Yeah.
The writing is excellent. Alfred's got a one-liner that he slides on in there that's great.
Dining in tonight, are we, sir?
The action at the end is the only thing that I think is not 10 out of 10.
It's just Batman riding a shark for like 2 minutes.
It's, yeah. That's
the Joker's just laughing at it.
That's the only thing about this episode that I think is not great, but yeah, better than Citizen Kane.
Yeah. I love it. I think the commercial is hilarious. You mentioned it too when they try to change the channel after the commercial and he's on every channel. It's just him just laughing. Same singular image.
That's
good.
That gets me every time. I don't know what it is about Mark Hamill's just delivery of like
it's so funny. I think the scene with him and Harley at the trademark office is just great.
Yeah.
Where it's, he's like,
that's
where he's like
Joker right there.
You may speak now. I think it's good. Yeah, and then at the end of the commercial, right, where he's like, get them at every store near you. That is once this sick son of a bitch Francis gives me my rights to the profits. It's just like, it's a perfect like display of Mark Hamill's ability to make the Joker funny and very sinister at the same time, which is really cool.
Yeah. So. Yeah, the Batman.
There's also good Harley stuff in this as well.
Great Harley. I think she's hysterical. The whole bit with her doing the commercial is awesome. Sang it at the opening of the show.
When he plops that fish mask on her.
That's great, too.
You know, you're really sick, boss.
And the whole time I'm thinking, like, man, they just go home and nasty fuck. You know what I mean?
They get into it, for sure.
Yeah. It's like trying to feed her fish and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think that this episode is spectacular. I think it's a 10 out of 10. I think it's awesome. And it's just, for other reasons, like I really love Two-Face Part 1, Perchance to Dream. These are episodes that had like, you know, a lot of like heavy weight to them. This episode doesn't really feel like that. Like it's got, you know, you're not really, I'm not really worried about Francis.
Nope.
I mean, he goes into like a cardiac arrest Joker face smile, which is pretty terrifying. But it's not like I'm like, what's Batman going to do to save the day? It's like,
this is an episode more where you're just kind of waiting to see what else the Joker does.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, and again, that plays into what I was kind of saying about the action, is that the only thing that I really don't love about the episode is what they get Batman to do in terms of, like, fighting. Like, he kind of
just
rides a shark.
Yeah.
But that doesn't matter. Everything else is so good that...
There's a little bit of fighting on the roof with the Joker at the end, but not anything substantial.
Sure.
Because their fights are never physical. It's just, he would just clock that guy.
Yeah.
He'd be dead.
So.
I loved the... in terms of like singular images, there's so many good ones. Obviously, the television stuff is funny and really memorable, but you and I were commenting on the animation of him driving the Batmobile down the pier is really good.
Oh, so cool.
Yeah.
That like silhouette
the side
shot.
Holy
is
shit. Dope.
Even, tattoo that right on my ass.
Even him getting into the aquarium where it's like all black and it's just a black Batman figure with like purple accent marks for lighting is really dope. Yeah, it's just a great episode, man. It's so fun.
Top tier.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could watch... don't spoil the rest of the show for me.
Okay.
Is there another episode like this? Or is this kind of like the one episode like this that there is? Because like...
What do you mean by like this?
I just feel... I don't know...
You mean like
a
good Joker episode that's like funny like this? Or
it's hard to put my finger on it. Like, the episode is...
It's one of the more unique ones, but I think that there's a lot of good Joker Harley stuff to come.
Okay.
Personally. Harley Quinn is one of my favorites that we can get to. I think you've seen that one, too.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this is still... But this is, like, pretty damn unique to the point that they've made references to this in the comics since then. Like, every now and then you'll see Batman studying case files, and up on the back computer is the Joker fish, like, seeing the pile of the fish and stuff like that. So it's become, like, part of the lexicon. This is Dini.
Is this your... Would you say that this is your favorite Dini project?
I don't know. It's hard. Because there's three. There's this, there's this, which he wrote, Heart of Ice, which he wrote, and then Harley Quinn, which I really enjoy as well. But this is definitely... We can go ahead and talk about it now. I think this is the best episode we've had to date.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it's easily the new number one. This is what I was mentioning last episode when I was like, there's one that I like more than Heart of Ice that's coming up. It was this one. It's just so wholly unique and fun to revisit. It's probably one that I've seen almost as much as Heart of Ice, if not more. And I think it's also a really good one to show somebody that hasn't seen the show.
Sure.
And to kind of like get them interested. But at the same time, you would then be sullying their expectation of an episode. Like, imagine watching this and then showing somebody like the Underdwellers.
Oh, God.
It'd be rough.
Whiplash.
Yeah.
Something that can't be understated. Maybe it's just like the uniqueness. It's hard to put my finger on why this feels unique, because it is. It's a Joker Batman story. Joker's got some silly plot. Batman's tracking him down. There's crime. There's this. There's that. But something about the way the episode is just paced is super, super tight and immaculate. Like,
yeah.
Like you said, no title card. It just opens up with that swinging thing, and then the title on the screen. It just feels like a movie. It feels like,
I know.
It feels like you're like, I just want to cuddle up with a blanket and like next to a fire,
yeah,
and watch this like 20 minutes of just pure comic book bliss. Like,
yeah, the animation's also just really good. Like, you can tell they're just really going for it. That
yeah.
probably has a lot to do with the fact that Tim directed it himself. I was just thinking more about other Dini episodes. So there's also Mad Love, which is the Harley origin story, which is great. That episode's fantastic. There's a Scarecrow episode that he did that I can't wait for you to see. There's lots of stuff for us to talk about. But in terms of what we've seen thus far, number one is a clear spot for this for sure.
So. I think, like, looking at the list, if we already put it in number one, I don't think there's really any question about it.
No debate.
I still say that I really love Two-Face Part 1 just in terms of the crime narrative, but I think that this just... I would be silly to argue that this wasn't number one. It's the humor's there, the writing is there, the plot is really interesting. I just like that it's a fake-out and it's complicated Joker nonsense. It's
funny that the premise is so simple and stupid, which is that he's trying to trademark a natural resource because he's poisoned all the fish, but not in a way that would hurt people. It just changes the physical appearance of a fish. And you're like, if you were to read that, you'd be like, oh, what? But the way that they sell it, where it's like, no, this guy's deranged and he's going to kill lots of people on his way to make sure that he gets this trademark, is what the Joker should be. And it also reminds me a lot of 89 Batman, with the Joker poisoning all the cosmetic products. You know what I mean? And like, obviously that's more sinister because it does kill people if they use the wrong combinations in that movie. But I think that this is kind of like a nice 1-2 punch with that, but this is just a lot more memorable because seeing the white fish with the fucking smile is just hilarious every time.
It is. It's funny because, like you said, yeah, the plot, the villain Joker's plan is spoken so goofily.
Yeah.
And if you read that on a page, you would laugh. But then there's that Mark Hamill perfect delivery of him in the trademark office where he's like, "And I'm gonna get paid millions of dollars to finance my own personal
5 cents for a fish sandwich, 50 cents for a can of sardines."
Yeah. But then he has that line. He says, "You're gonna pay me millions of dollars so I can flaunt my professional lifestyle." He says something.
Hedonistic
lifestyle.
Hedonistic happy lifestyle.
Yeah, something. Yeah. And I'm like, that is so Joker. That is perfectly the Joker. It's like, he's not doing this inadvertently to hurt people. Maybe he was going to hurt people eventually, but he just wants to make some money.
He's trying to get paid.
He's trying to get that dough, baby. Yeah.
He's just trying to get what's his, you know? So funny. You got anything else you want to say?
Well done.
Good job. Good job, team.
Good job, everyone involved. We have a new number one.
We finally did it. We finally supplanted Heart of Ice.
Is Cal going to be not too pleased about...
I don't know what Cal's takes on the Laughing Fish are. I'll have to text him and find out. But
he felt very strongly about Heart of Ice, enough that he made a guest appearance on the pod.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think... I think if you... Like, I love Heart of Ice a lot. I think it is also another perfect installment in the same that... Whether that I would feel about Two-Face Part 1, The Laughing Fish, and Perchance the Dream. But there's just so many good episodes. And I think it would be tomfoolery for us to not have a Joker episode rated more than that. He's, like, the second most iconic character from the show. You know what I mean? And even though Heart of Ice is a really good origin story for Mr. Freeze... It's not funny or enjoyable in the way that watching Mark Hamill just cook is just the best. Like, he's what a godsend that guy is, honestly, for this role. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. Well, our next three episodes, unfortunately, will not be as good as this. They're good, but it's hard to follow up a week like this. But our next three are Night of the Ninja, Cat Scratch Fever, and The Strange Secret of Bruce Wayne. So.
Huh.
We will dive into that next time on this show. But thank you guys for listening. Go check out The Laughing Fish if you haven't seen it in a while. Obviously, hopefully you watched it before we talked about it on this pod. But yeah, I mean, again, if you like the show, check us out, radiovania.com. Like Zach said, we'll have a regular scheduled Radiovania episode coming out where we talk about Across the Spider-Verse, as well as a couple of pre-Flash news and stuff like that. So definitely go give that a listen. And then this will be coming out probably sometime after that. So, check us out, Radiovania on Twitter, Radiovision Show at Instagram or whatever it is.
All the places.
All the places.
Everywhere.
He's at Zach Pichella. I'm at Najdan Parker. Zach, thanks for joining us. Thanks for dealing with Batman for the first 3 hours of your day. but
that sounds like a good first 3 hours of the day.
I agree. It's a good way to start our Sunday here. But. Give me a Batman the Animated Series quote.
For my fish, of course.
There it is. There it is. Have a good one, everybody.